You're listening to Voice of Israel.
This is Molly Livingstone on The Big Falafel here on Voice of Israel. And I have a voice of Israel. She's really like the voice of God, Judaism. I call her a Jewish maven, but we're still trying to figure out your official title. I have Esther Kostanowitz in studio in Jerusalem just before she heads back to the States joining me. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you, Molly.
So you are such, I think, a pillar in the Jewish community. Did you know that?
Well, you know, it's hard work being a pillar. So at a certain point, you begin to get an idea that there's a lot riding on you. But in all seriousness, like, that's very kind. I've been in the Jewish nonprofit world for a very long time and worked with a lot of up and coming projects. So I've really had the privilege of getting to know, like, a lot of the, you know, hip young projects that are coming up. Not all of them necessarily, you know, young in age, but, or young in terms of the founders, but like in terms of innovative or creative approaches to engagement in Jewish life, culture, tradition, Israel engagement, all of those things.
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about, is kind of understanding the diaspora community, like the America, mm-hmm. and their relationship to Judaism. Or Jewishness and Israel. So, just to give you, our listeners, context of really who you are, Esther Kostanowitz is a writer, editor, and consultant based in Los Angeles. In 2014, she served part time as director of digital content and story editor for Pictures from the Fringe, and consulted for, is it Ellie or Eli?
Eli Talks.
See, because mm-hmm. when it's written, you never yeah. know. Eli Talks and Godcast. E-Scapegoat, which I saw some of the stuff, really funny. From 2010 to 2014, she coordinated the Next Gen Engagement Initiative at the Jewish Federation of Greater Los Angeles. You've served as a consultant for ROI Community, which I am a part of proudly, since 2006. You've consulted for dozens of organizations, institutions, including ICAR. No, how do they?
ICAR.
ICAR. That's a...
It's a spiritual community based in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and the rabbi...
Yeah, Sharon Brous.
She met Obama, right? Didn't she?
Oh, famously, yes.
Famously. I was yes. like, I went to Camp Ramah with that person. That's awesome.
I believe she gave actually like a benediction at one of the like inauguration related ceremonies.
Yes.
Pretty impressive. Yes.
Pretty impressive. You've worked with the American Jewish University, Yeshiva University, Slingshot, Limud, and the Jewish Federation of North America. You've written for Haaretz, JTA, The Jewish Week, The Forward, The Jewish Journal, E-Jewish Philanthropy, blogs, My Urban Kvetch, and you have advised individuals and nonprofit organizations on culture and effective use of social media. Most importantly, however, which you make sure that you put an asterisk by in your bio, sense of humor, fairly well acknowledged as better than average, bordering on excellent, which I think is so important. And that's why, I hope that that's what my show does most of the time. But let's talk firstly about, well, I guess why you would put yourself so into the Jewish world, the community, the nonprofit world, because it's a pretty harsh world, I would say, without sounding depressing, but it's a difficult place to be, that the diaspora Jews, Israel, nonprofit. So why do it?
Right. So it's actually, you know, I have a cute little anecdote that I like to tell about how I got my start in Jewish nonprofit. When I graduated from college in approximately like the 1930s or something, I wanted to either go into publishing, because as a fledgling aspiring writer, like, I knew that that's how you got, you know, you read a lot of manuscripts and then somebody would read your manuscript and then you'd make it big and then you'd be a published author and go on a book tour and make a ton of money. Well, anyway, let's just remember that I was much younger then and much more naive. But the other thing that I was concerned about is that I have a day school background through high school, and then I went to a secular college. I went to Rutgers College in New Brunswick. And after that, you know, I was concerned about going into the workforce and like having to explain to them about, you know, Sabbath observance and holidays and something called, you know, Shemini Atzeret, which most Jews don't even seem to know about. So, you know, having to explain these minor things. So I was thinking, well, maybe it would be an easier transition for me to go to something that was in Jewish nonprofit. And then I started looking at the salaries in the newspapers. Newspapers are a thing that, you know, used to be in old media. So they used to have these ads, classified ads for jobs. Explaining this, I'm sure you know. But I started circling the ads in the newspaper. And the starting salaries in Jewish nonprofit were $21,000 a year. And
for Israel, that sounds great.
I know. And in publishing was 17.
Wow.
So like I literally went into Jewish nonprofit for the money. You know, that is a joke that has followed me ever since.
Yeah, that's definitely not why you're still there.
Right. But I while I was there, I did manage to work with a number of organizations, Hadassah and JTS, among them the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, where there was just like such an enthusiasm for, you know, projects in Israel and the Hadassah case and also in JTS, you know, just this optimism for the future, training of rabbis who are going to be rabbis, cantors, Jewish educators, who are going to be like this at the forefront of Jewish thought and really trying to find ways for people to connect to Jewish life in meaningful and creative ways. So that all of that really appealed to me. And, you know, there's obviously a lot of bureaucracy that can go along with working in a Jewish nonprofit world. There's a lot of, you know, frustration, you know, even sometimes on a daily basis with the way things work or don't work or should work but don't. But, you know, I think that one of the reasons that people stay in Jewish nonprofit is because they find the output or the product rewarding. Where it becomes more of a challenge for people is when they don't actually see the output. And it's just about the frustration and the inner workings.
So let's talk about the reward, because everyone seems to be dealing with this idea of how do we get the Jews of right now, this generation, whether in their 20s, 30s, 40s, to be more active in their Judaism, to connect to their Judaism, and also how does that connect to Israel in the bigger picture? So where is your reward? What have you done? Is it through the Eli talks? Is it through God? Like where's the reward?
Right. Well, right now I'm a consultant, so I have the advantages of having no bosses and every boss. So that's a bit of a freedom for me, but also it enables me to be part of all these different projects. And they're all very different projects, but Godcast, for instance, is an example of a project that I think is really tremendous and is really using new media in a way to bring the stories of the Tanakh, the, you know, the Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, Torah, prophets, writings, to people who wouldn't necessarily open the book to look at it in the first place. But once they've seen it, they might want to learn more. So I think that there's a lot of these projects that are kind of like gateway projects that, you know, kind of bring... create multiple paths of entry for people into Jewish life and culture. And that's like one of the things that has definitely followed all the projects that I've been involved with. It's about understanding that not everybody connects at the go to synagogue, open the book and read the stuff. And that is not necessarily, even if there's an English translation or a translation to whatever your vernacular is, that it may not be enough to bring you closer to, taking those messages or those stories in and understanding them through your own modern lens. So most of the projects that I've been involved with do that.
Yeah. So with this Godcast, the things I was like looking at it yesterday, and they've created widgets and gadgets and apps. So there was one, Let's Bake Challah, like obviously to reach out to kids, although also me. And you can like knead, bake, decorate, and learn to bless challah. There's just so many different ones. Jewish baby name app. That's always a good one. Lots of crazies out there.
One of my favorite of their apps is something, I don't know if you're familiar with the game Fruit Ninja, if you've ever played Fruit Ninja.
I'm not one of those people that plays these things, but yeah, tell me more. Like I get Candy Crush, you know, million times a day. Someone wants to sign me up for Candy Crush, and I'm like, I will crush you instead.
Exactly. I think that's a fair reaction. also, if somebody wants me to be part of their Farmville community, you know, I mean, my great-great-grandfather was one of the founders of Petzach Tikva, so maybe I have an inclination for agricultural work. I don't know. But if I do, it's probably not going to be in Farmville land. Anyway, there's a popular secular game, I think I'm calling them secular games, but called Fruit Ninja, in which a lot of fruits kind of fly across your screen and you have to slice them in half with your finger as a swipe.
Oh, nice.
And so kids love this game, and there's and so Godcast. Godcast created a similar game called Leviticus, which of course is, you know, naturally very similar to Fruit Ninja, in which you learn about which sacrifices are permitted in the temple and which ones are not. And in the Fruit Ninja game, there's a bomb that if you slice it, you know, you explode. And that's the end of the round. And in Leviticus, it's like, it shows you the good kinds of sacrifices and also like a goat that has like, it's green and has like a crutches and a cast. And so if you swipe that one, that's the equivalent of the bomb. Anyway, it's just a way to create more engagement with the story of, you know, sacrifices, which you may not connect to, but, you know, there, at least people who have used this game have learned something small about it.
And the Eli Talks, what was the goal in that? What, it's like TED Talks. That's the idea.
Yes, it's like a TED style talk for the Jewish community. Eli is an acronym, as so many things are in the Jewish community.
Love our acronyms.
Right. Engagement, literacy, and identity. So those three areas are the areas that Eli focuses on. And over the past, I guess, 6 months or so that I've been involved with them as a consultant, as their I think I'm community manager, I think is the title. See, I got confused too because there are a lot of titles. But as community manager, I've managed the Twitter and kind of live tweeted some of these events. I've also hosted a couple of them on Google Plus, you know, chats that were live on air broadcasts. Those have been on everything from the environment to, you know, kind of rethinking Jewish models of engagement to Jewish humor to, they also interviewed me for one of them, because I do a lot of writing about how people can connect with other people who have gone through a loss, and how
you're writing a book about that.
Yes, so I'm writing a little bit more about it every day. I lost my mother 3 years ago, so there's that's kind of the impetus for it. But I've also found that a lot of people don't necessarily know how to relate to people who have been through loss, and especially in the States. I mean, here, in Israel, it's a little bit different, like on a national level, but.
All right. Well, when we get back, I want to take a quick break. I want to talk about these more inspiring commitments that are going on and talk about how we make the connection between American Jewry and Israel. So stick around. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter at VO Israel. Find us on Facebook and give us a like at Voice of Israel. Stick around. You are listening to Molly Livingstone on The Big Falafel.
David Brog, executive director of Christians United for Israel, insists that some 70 million U.S. evangelical Christians constitute the major support base in the United States for the Jewish state. But what does the future hold?
Christians are going to be involved in this conflict one way or another. The only question is, are they going to be involved as supporters of Israel or as opponents of Israel?
That's National Security with Dan Diker, weekdays on Voice of Israel.
Hey folks, this is Yishai Fleischer. I love broadcasting and I love Israel. So on my show, you're going to hear things like this.
And my friends on the right who love the land, and my friends on the left who love the environment, that if you love the environment, you're a better Jew than you might have thought. And if you love the land, you're a better environmentalist than you might have thought. And I think we have to look ahead to the Jerusalem we want in the future and try and make it happen.
That's the Yishai Fleischer Show on voiceofisrael.com.
This is Molly Livingstone here on The Big Falafel. I am talking to you from our studios in Jerusalem. Such a beautiful place. Another gorgeous day. It's hard to imagine it's winter here. I'm actually from LA, and Esther, my guest, is also, you now live in LA. You've lived there for a few years, but would you say you're an LA person?
It's a really interesting question. It depends on who I'm talking to and what the context is. So when I first moved to LA, I spent 4 years there without a car,
People can't spend four hours without a car.
Exactly. The first 4 months or something, people were just like referring to me as, oh, she's a New Yorker, you know? Yeah. And I kind of view myself as a New Yorker because I've lived in New York for so long, and I'm always willing to walk, which is something that in LA people aren't necessarily always willing to do, which is strange because because New York had such bad weather most of the time, or some of the time. I don't want to disparage my former city. But in LA, the grand majority of the time, it's beautiful out and people are just in their cars all the time. And so, you know, I like to think that I maintain a little bit of my New York attitude and, you know, still wear the black clothing and all that. But I also, you know, I like to walk, but, you know, I have a car now because I have to get along in Los Angeles, which you
finally
need a car
adapted.
For.
You assimilated.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think I could say I live in LA. I wouldn't say I'm from LA.
Right. So I am from LA.
No offense.
I know, no offense. Right. I always am like, I'm so sorry if I offended you by saying that. But I went to school on the East Coast and I felt much more like that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And people never get this LA vibe from me. But when I'm talking about being in Jerusalem and the weather is so similar to LA, mm-hmm. like it's just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. It's always, and the air here is like just this fresh, I mean, especially compared to LA, they're not the same. Mm-hmm. There's something that like, always smells like rain to me in the air. I want to talk about engagement mm-hmm. because that's really what you have done so well in so many different areas is trying to find, just like you were saying, that people don't necessarily connect through, here's a book, open it and start praying. And that's how you're Jewish. In fact, more and more people are not really connecting through that part of Judaism. And yet the goal is to connect people, to not just let people sort of assimilate and lose themselves, especially when you're seeing so much on college campuses with BDS, with boycotting Israel, with anti-Israel, anti-Semitism, which seems to be on the rise. So you're dealing with groups after college, like mm-hmm. in their late 20s, 30s. How do you get them engaged, especially when it comes to Israel?
Right. It's obviously a really complicated question.
Thank you.
Yes. And very sophisticated. So
I tried
good
to frame
for you,
everything.
Molly Livingstone, asking the tough questions. I think that part of the challenge is that a lot of people ask a question about a general, like, how do you get people involved? And it's not one answer. Like, I wish the answer was, you know, a conference about the weather in Jerusalem, and that'll unite everybody. I think that to try to take like one Band-Aid and put it over the whole problem is really not a viable solution. So I think that the most successful programs or attitudes towards Jewish engagement are those that take into account that people are individuals, that they have their own areas of interest and passion, and work from those points of connection and passion to create the connection to Jewish life. So like, for instance, there are a lot of people who have found themselves attracted to like environmental causes or the food movement, and so there have been a number of organizations that Urban Adama and Chazon and like a lot of other programs that are based in the States and have a connection between the land and concepts of Jewish connection and identity. Some of that, you know, could also be connected to Israel, but it doesn't always have to be. Israel is a very complicated issue, obviously, specifically on college campuses and also a little bit after. There are organizations that kind of like take the problem and take the challenge of speaking about Israel and do it from multiple perspectives, you know, whether it's the Startup Nation kind of approach or lens. When we worked at Federation, they did a TED style talks with some women entrepreneurs from Israel, and that was super interesting and incredible. And, you know, a lot of people came to that. But the question of like, where are those people coming from and how are you finding them is also a complicated question. Like, you know, there's a lot of talk about engaging the unaffiliated. And those two terms, like, except for the word the, like, nobody knows what either of those terms means. Because if unaffiliated used to mean you didn't belong to a synagogue. But, you know, if somebody is involved in AIPAC, but not connected to a synagogue, they're still engaged, but they're unaffiliated in the traditional sense. If somebody doesn't give to Federation, but is a very active supporter of Chazon, like they're still engaged, but it's not in the traditional and quantifiable by the establishment. I'm using these large terms, but
so I'm so confused. SAT words.
Yes, yeah. I know. It is a very confusing space, but I think that there's a lot of organizations mistake number of attendees for engagement. And I don't think that they're the same thing. I think there are a number of programs that are designed for Jewish professionals, which is often a code for singles.
And really?
Yeah. In the States that, I mean.
Seriously?
Yeah, it happens. I mean, there are couples that show up to Jewish young professional events, but often they have to identify that they're couples early on because otherwise, you know, people get confused and, yeah. So anyway, I mean, I think that like there's a lot of pressure toward getting people to pair up. And that's a lens that a lot of people look at their programs
pair up
through.
In coupling?
Yes. Yes.
Wait, you just like said something very breaking news for me. You're saying that their goal is to bring them in through looking at it like, oh, come and join our professional, whatever it is, event. But really the agenda is to get people to get married?
I understand that's how it sounded. I think that there are kind of two main goals to the young adult programming, young adult engagement, as we're talking about it, like in a larger sense. And some of it is to have those people find connections that lead them to marriages. So that is definitely a part of the young adult engagement scene, picture, programming element, et cetera. Then there's like the kind of, it depends on which organization or institution is kind of planning it. And then there's the organizational or institutional agenda. And the word agenda seems like very like kind of nefarious and like, you know,
big
kind
word.
Of like you're rubbing your hands as a Dr. Evil kind of situation. but it's, you know, the reality is every organization has to decide what the metrics of success are for that program. And so for some people, it's, you know, to get like 400 people to like a soiree at a bar and have them all talking to each other and maybe get a little tipsy and see what happens. but then there's like the something that's like a little bit more of like a TED Talk where you gather like a bunch of people in an auditorium and they listen to talks and maybe they have a cocktail hour before and after so that there's mingling opportunity both from a discussion and conversational perspective and also from a social perspective. And that's like a little bit more content laden and each one will appeal to a different kind of person and sometimes to the same person at different times of the year. So
you've been doing this for what, 15 years?
Oh gosh, that's kind of you.
Oh really? So more?
Yeah. I've been in Jewish nonprofit since like I said, the 1940s. No, but it's been close to two decades. So like, let's just call it that.
Okay. So what have you seen? Is Jewish engagement working? Are Jews engaging? Or are they for scary term for Israelis, disengaging? And what is social media's role in that? Because I feel like social media has a huge role and you are so involved in social media.
Right. So, I think that the most successful programs today are working from this point of creativity. I think that we are in an unprecedented time of creativity, just in terms of the space where the minds who are creating the content and the content delivery methods, everything from development methods, you know, in terms of, people having the ability to create movies on their phones and then upload them to their computers and add graphics and all of a sudden they've got a short film. I think that, and then you distribute it via social media and the distribution is so easy and accessible to everybody. And that, so that those kinds of elements have to be reflected in the programming too, that people are able to take the things that are meaningful to them and see them in small packages and to identify the way that those packages relate to their lives.
But are they more or less engaged in your 20 years of experience?
Are they more or less engaged? I think that they are more engaged. I just
really?
Think, again, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think that one of the things that we'd have to do is kind of eliminate New York and Los Angeles from this equation and look at the middle of the country. And I don't have that data.
That sounded like Ahmani Didijad. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
eliminate
mean it.
Them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I meant the rest of the
Jewry.
From the equation as opposed to from existence,
right.
But yes. So I think that, you know, LA, New York, Chicago, you know, a couple other cities, maybe San Francisco Bay Area, like there's a huge population of people who are creating and active and engaged and have multiple engagements, not just, you know, affiliated to Federation or to Israel Bonds or whatever in the classical method that people used to do. So I think it's an opportunity there are many opportunities for people to connect and they have to make the choices. And that's where you run into some challenges.
Well, to help them make choices, I'm sure you can be there. How can people learn more about you or find you?
So I'm I'm one of the people who you can find pretty easily on the internet. It used to be if you Googled Esther and Marzipan Rugelach, you could get me like really quickly. That's a little inside Jerusalem joke. But the truth is I have a website, estherk.com. I've been blogging at myurbankvetch.com, which is my blog, for over 10 years. And I'm also available on Twitter at Esther K.
Well, I thank you so much for being in our studios. Keep doing what you're doing because it's important for all Jewry. This has been Molly Livingstone on The Big Falafel. Thank you all for joining us.
You are listening to Voice of Israel, premier news talk from the heart of Jerusalem. To listen to more great audio, register for our live streaming broadcasts at voiceofisrael.com. Voice of Israel, bringing Israel closer.